Because though we were poor, it was in that place where we were taught that no matter who we were, no matter where we were from, no matter what our status in life, that anything was possible here in this America. And so that's where I began my effort on conservation, because I know that farmers and ranchers really are the greatest of stewards of our lands. Today, here in Washington, D.C., we're here to start a march for conservation for the 21st century. We must all ask ourselves two very fundamental questions. What are the most critical conservation challenges that face our nation today? To be sure, they are different than those challenges which President Roosevelt addressed back in 1908. But to be sure, the American spirit and the American determination can stand up to those challenges. We also are here gathered today to start a collective conversation across this country on how we can best address these conservation challenges of today. My hope is, as we launch this 21st century conservation agenda, that we can work together to identify wildlife corridors throughout our nation, working in concert with private landowners and local and state governments and others who have been on this venture for a long time. But the fact is that wildlife doesn't know political boundaries, but they do know fence lines and they do know roadways. And our wildlife habitat is fragmented. And that is why you can have organizations like the NRA and Ducks Unlimited coming together and saying, we need to connect up the landscapes of America. That was the vision of Sam Hamilton, the director of the Fish and Wildlife Service, in his efforts to move forward with the landscape conservation cooperatives, which we intend to move forward with. I would hope that today we can move forward with a 21st century national conservation that identifies the landscapes of national significance for the United States of America. Places such as the Everglades, the crown of the continent in Montana, Chesapeake Bay here in the eastern coast, the San Francisco Bay Delta, the Gulf Coast, the Great Lakes, and so many other landscapes of national significance in our country. And I would hope that as we move forward with this 21st conservation agenda, that we can also work together to identify the next generation of great urban parks for our country. Those great urban parks will follow the examples of places like Millennium Park in Chicago, the Gateway Arch in St. Louis, the South Platte through central Denver. And that we can also move forward with the 21st century conservation agenda, working with our colleagues in the Department of Commerce and Jane Lubchenco and others, to move forward on how we will make sure that we protect and enhance the rivers and waterways of America. And finally, that we together move forward with our private working lands, with ranchers and with farmers, to embrace the agenda that they have been working on for a long time to preserve and to conserve their lands and our lands. Now, what will happen today is that you will hear from two distinguished panels later in the afternoon after the, or later in the day after the president's speech. You'll hear one panel which will talk about private land conservation here in the United States of America. And that panel will be moderated by one of the greatest secretaries of the Department of Agriculture in our history, Tom Vilsack, a former great governor of Iowa, who knows about rural communities and is working every day to make sure that rural America is not forgotten in this administration or in this America. You will then have another panel, which I will moderate on public land conservation, and then breakout sessions in the afternoon. And following this presentation here this morning, you will hear briefly from some of my colleagues who make the Obama team the, in my view, what history will judge, one of the very best teams ever assembled to work for a president. And that will be our administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, who works tirelessly on behalf of the American people to make sure that we have a good and clean environment, and that is my friend and colleague Lisa Jackson. And you will now hear from a person who chaired the effort of bringing all of us together, and that's the chairperson of the Council of Environmental Quality, Nancy Sutley. Help me give her a great welcome here this morning. Thank you.
Good morning, and thank you all for being here today. The people in this room represent the diversity of America's states and territories. Whether you represent a tribe, state, city, or town, or you are here because you are a farmer, rancher, recreational fishermen, or part of a business, educational, or conservation group, you are all here because you care about what is so critical to America: the parks, open spaces, wild lands, working lands, and waters that are vital to our culture and character. We could not have a meaningful discussion about America's great outdoors without you. Like many Americans, I grew up in a city. I've lived in big cities all my life. Growing up in Queens, New York, my experience of outdoor spaces was on a smaller scale than what usually comes to mind when we discuss America's great outdoors. Nevertheless, these spaces, large or small, near and far, became important to me. Many of my fondest childhood memories took place outside, in our small backyard, at our neighborhood park, or on family vacations at the beach or in the mountains. Every season of the year, we'd spend hours in our neighborhood parks. Whether we pulled on our hats and gloves to go sledding, or hopped on our bikes, or wandered over to kick leaves in the fall, these were very important places. It's amazing how people crave outdoor spaces. And now, as an adult at home in Los Angeles, I witnessed the same desire for a connection to the outdoors. I live down the street from Elysian Park, a great urban park, and a 600-acre oasis in the heart of Los Angeles. On any Sunday afternoon, every square inch of it is claimed by families barbecuing, couples picnicking, or kids kicking around a soccer ball. Since moving to Washington, I see the same thing from my office window. The moment the thermometer tops 50 degrees, swarms of busy Washingtonians and tourists suddenly find time for lunch or to frolic in Lafayette Park. Urban parks are refuges in an ocean of asphalt. They provide a sense of peace and add immeasurably to our quality of life. They give us a chance to experience nature and be around wildlife, even if it is only squirrels and sparrows. They are where families go to unwind and to connect, and often they're the only places where kids can stretch their legs and give free run to their imaginations. Today, with 80% of Americans living in urban areas, these pockets of outdoor space are more important than ever. And so are those cherished American traditions of the weekend camping trip or the summer road trip that bring millions of families who live in cities and suburbs to the iconic national parks and forests, or to state parks, forests, and campgrounds. Just as we cherish our childhood memories of hiking and sledding, fishing and camping, and as we enjoy time outdoors with our families, we must guard these places and traditions for new generations. We've been hearing a lot about these new approaches that you in this room have been developing to conserve and restore these outdoor places and to connect more families to them. Coalitions across the country are working to protect and improve the outdoor spaces that make our country special. This includes, for example, the public-private partnership that's changing the face of the Los Angeles River by removing concrete, reintroducing native vegetation and wildlife, and creating new parks along its banks. There are countless other examples from coast to coast. It's the work that you are doing and the commitment that you are making in your city halls, in state legislatures, in your staff meetings and community groups that is leading the way, and that's why we invited you here today. This administration wants to learn from you and from your efforts on the ground. As a landowner and a land manager, we also want to join and support you. The federal government is the steward of many of this country's natural resources. In addition to the conservation work of the leaders here today from the Department of the Interior, Department of Agriculture, and the Environmental Protection Agency, many other agencies help protect outdoor spaces and connect Americans to them. For example, the Army Corps of Engineers is the number one federal provider of outdoor recreation, connecting more than 350 million visitors to 12 million acres of land and water each year. And the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration works hard to maintain the health of the nation's coasts, which draw more than 180 million Americans to them each year. I'd also like to welcome Deputy Secretary of Transportation John Porcari and Howard Coe, Assistant Secretary of Health at the Department of Health and Human Services and thank them for joining us here today. We are pleased that these agencies are joining this effort along with the Department of Housing and Urban Development, the Department of Labor, and the Office of Management and Budget. The federal government can play an important, but not the only role in this effort. Nobody knows which places are most important to American communities better than the people who live and work in them. We need you to help us identify new opportunities to work together on a modern approach to conservation that begins at the ground level and to reinvigorate the national conservation about our outdoors. We hope that today and over the coming months, you will help us build a community-centered 21st century conservation agenda for America's great outdoors that protects the many beautiful places and outdoor traditions of this great country. I'm looking forward to the conversation, and we sincerely appreciate you joining us for it today and for all that you'll do in the future. And now I'm very pleased to introduce my friend and colleague, a powerful champion of America's working lands, Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, in the wonderful building, a beautiful building not far from here, the Library of Congress, there is a statement that I think is appropriate for today's meeting. And that statement reads very simply that nature is God's art. What an extraordinary work of art it is, our farm fields and forests, our private working lands. Just think about the extraordinary contribution the great American outdoors makes to us every single day. It is the source of our food and of our water, an increasing amount of our fuel and energy, our wood. It's an economic driver, one out of every 12 jobs in America connected to what takes place on our working lands. It's a place of intangible benefits, a place of relaxation and recreation, a place where values are formed and shared, a quiet, peaceful place, not confined to rural areas, but also to the green spaces of our great cities. During the course of the last year, the Obama administration has worked to preserve this work of art. We've begun a process of restoring our nation's forests. We celebrate this year the 75th anniversary of our conservation program, our NRCS, and our stewardship of private working lands, the 25th anniversary of CRP. We're working together with other agencies of the federal government to protect some of our nation's important watersheds, the Chesapeake Bay, the Great Lakes area, the upper Mississippi River Basin. But candidly, there is more work that needs to be done. And that's why this conference is so important. We have work to do. One of God's great gifts is the extraordinary productive soil of America. But each year we still lose about 1.7 billion tons of soil to erosion. That's enough soil to fill 150 million dump trucks. Each year, an average of 1.6 million acres of our rural landscape is developed. If you took concrete and you created a mile strip, 1.6 million acres would take you from Atlanta to San Francisco. There's a need for collaborative effort. This isn't simply about preserving our natural resources. This is about building a true sense of community between each of us in this country. We all have a stake in preserving our natural resources. It should not be seen as a burden or a penalty, but as a benefit and a privilege. If you think about this work of art, if you had it as an individual asset of your own, what would you want to do with it in terms of your children and grandchildren? How would you want to preserve it, restore it, protect it? Well, that's pretty much what we have discussed today. How is it that we take this wonderful great American outdoors and ensure that the next generation has its use, its privilege, its benefit? You all are engaged in this great effort. You are a continuation of generations of Americans who have committed themselves to protecting and preserving the great American outdoors. You can help us encourage our young people to spend more time outdoors, to deal with the opportunities that nature presents. You can allow those values to be shaped and formed in our farm fields, in our forests, in our private working lands, and in our public lands. We have an extraordinary team that wants to work with you, a president who is committed to this endeavor. I'm extraordinarily privileged to be working with Administrator Lisa Jackson, Secretary Salazar, and Chair Sutley. These are three individuals who are deeply committed to protecting the environment and enhancing the natural resources and ensuring that all of America gets to enjoy them. But as good as they are, they can't do it alone. They need your collective wisdom, your collective voice, and your collective strength. This isn't just simply about building and preserving our unique gift. It is, as I said, about creating a true sense of community, a commitment on the part of all of our countrymen to preserving these assets. It's my privilege at this time to welcome to the stage Administrator Lisa Jackson. And I want to say that we have at USDA a unique partnership with EPA, beginning a process of making sure that we collaborate with each other on issues relating to the environment and issues relating to American agriculture. We understand that we're in this struggle and this fight together. And I can tell you I have no better partner at EPA than Lisa Jackson. She has been truly a friend and a strong supporter of conservation, of preserving this unique, wonderful work of art that we have been given. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Lisa Jackson.
Wow, good morning, everyone, and it's great to be here. I love batting cleanup with the Obama foursome here, and hello to all my colleagues. There are lots of folks in the Obama administration. You've heard of some of them. They're sitting in the audience, so good morning to all of them. I just want to start first, obviously, by thanking President Obama for his leadership on this issue. I cannot tell you how excited I am to contribute to the work of this partnership and to set a new course for direction in the enjoyment of our country's great outdoors. Now, let me also say, I'm the mother of two sons, so I admire your ambition this morning. Anything you can do that we can do to get them to turn off the video games and play outside, I'm absolutely in awe of that. And so I hope and pray for our joint success as well. Actually, I just got back over spring break. I learned to ski a few years ago. I took my boys skiing. I should be more specific. They refused to learn to ski. They wanted to board. And I am reminded, for those, you know, who are ski purists out there, I know there's a bit of controversy, but it is emblematic to me of what we have to think about. We have to think about the things that might not appeal to those of us who were drawn to the mountains to ski, but now ride, as my kids do. And they both fell in love with the sport. So now we have two more folks who will spend, well, I'll be spending, but they'll spend a lot of money. a lot of money supporting an industry that, of course, supports preservation, conservation, and an absolute love. You cannot be outside skiing with the vistas that you see and not come away awed by the magnificence of this country. My 14-year-old turned to me and honestly said, "Mom, this is the best day of my life." I wonder how many of us have had that moment with our children. How many children have yet to have that moment with their parents? How many families have yet to have an opportunity, much less the money or the means, to be able to take a time away where you can hear that from your children? So America's great outdoors have played a role in our history, in our economy, in our culture from the very, very beginning. Our open spaces have inspired our artists, and of course they've encouraged our pioneers. They've embodied the boundless spirit of possibility that has always driven our progress. It was around the turn of the last century that our country took some of the first significant steps to protect the great outdoors.
So many of the national treasures that we enjoy today are still here because of the action of that generation. As our generation moves into the 21st century and considers the nation that we will leave to our children and to our grandchildren, America's great outdoors take on a renewed importance. At EPA, we're so proud of the role that we play in protecting America's open spaces. Signature laws in our country, like the Clean Air Act, like the Clean Water Act, have enabled us to restore and preserve the places that Americans cherish, to protect the fish and wildlife that inhabit these areas, and to open up our great outdoors to activities that bring people together. We're proud to partner with people for whom these areas are a way of life, the farmers and private landowners who are ensuring that working landscapes provide clean water, clean air, open spaces, and wildlife habitat. The work that EPA has done for the past 40 years has also helped clear the air and water in urban and suburban communities, making sure that millions of Americans have access to outdoor activities no matter where they live. That last point is part of what I and my colleagues at EPA want to place a special emphasis on as we work on this great outdoors initiative. One of the starkest ways to understand the importance of the outdoors is to travel to a community where there is no green space, where parks are few or scarce, and open spaces to enjoy are not many. Improving access to open spaces and green space in our urban communities should and must be a focus of 21st century conservation strategy. Too many of our children have limited access to parks. Low-income residents and communities of color look for opportunities to get outside. In those places where we don't have those opportunities, we see higher levels of obesity, significant economic obstacles, and lower levels of community interaction. There's simply no place for young people or residents to meet, to simply get together and have a chance to learn and know each other, much less learn and understand the natural environment. Now, EPA has initiatives like brownfields programs that allow us to focus on overburdened communities and rehabilitate formerly contaminated areas into healthy, green public spaces. Projects at Trinity River near Dallas, Texas, on the restored Rio Salada in Phoenix, Arizona, and in older industrial areas in downtown Columbus, Ohio, have transformed contaminated fields into outdoor green space. All three of those were near low-income communities that deserve access to these resources. We're also busy developing an urban waters initiative that will help local residents, many in underserved communities, just to reconnect, to remember that they live in a city that's probably built around water. Right here in our own community, President Obama has initiated an effort to restore and revitalize the Chesapeake Bay and watershed. The people in this area certainly know the great value to the economy, to the environment, to the culture of keeping our waters and wetland and local shores fishable, swimmable, and healthy. In every case, we're using outdoor space as a centerpiece for strengthening communities, encouraging environmental health, and yes, spurring economic growth. Last but not least, I'm really excited about what this means for young people. We have an opportunity to raise a new generation of environmental stewards. Actually, let me change that. We have an obligation to raise a new generation of environmental stewards. Young people who learn to value open spaces will be the protectors of those spaces they come to value, and they will pass those values on to the next generation. As I've said, I have two teenage sons, so I am grateful for the opportunity to provide them with a lasting legacy of conservation. It makes me so proud to know that years from now, they will know that we collectively took action to preserve, restore, and protect vital natural treasures that will last for generations. This is such an important initiative with lasting benefits for every American. I'm proud to be a part of it, and I look forward to working with everyone involved. Thanks so very much.